Spring is here, and you can now get almost anything you need for your sunny days delivered with Uber Eats. What do we mean by almost? Well, you can't get a well-groomed lawn delivered, but you can get a chicken parmesan delivered. A cabana? That's a no. But a banana? That's a yes. A nice tan? Sorry. Nope. But a box fan? Happily yes. A day of sunshine? No. A box of fine wines? Yes. Uber Eats can definitely get you that. Get almost anything delivered with Uber Eats. Order now. Alcohol in select markets. Product availability may vary by region. See app for details.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
To you all, and welcome in to another edition of the PHNX D-Back Show right here on PHNX. My name is Derek Montilla, occasionally known as a fellow line holder. Is that what we're calling ourselves?
Yes,
We are habitual line steppers and habitual line holders. Of course, I'm joined by a man that knows very little about the NFL, but still is a good enough friend to just go ahead and go along with me and Damon on
Team Hold the Line.
Oh boy, it's Jesse Friedman. So welcome in. Of course, we are excited to have you guys here and excited to be talking about Diamondbacks baseball. We will not bring you any NFL draft coverage today on this show at all. What we will bring you, though, is a friend of the show, and of course somebody very knowledgeable about the Arizona Diamondbacks organization and the young players that we are getting a chance to see a little bit of this season. It's Amarillo Sod Poodles broadcaster Stephen Carey. I don't know. Is this actually Stephen Carey? Because we've made that mistake already once this morning.
Yeah, you know, I didn't think Chris's face needed any more publicity than it was already getting.
You're right.
But, you know, you guys outdid yourself. You had a 50-50 shot, I said it. But, no, it's always so good to see you guys. It's so good.
We appreciate it. It's great to see you, my friend. And speaking of that, how does it feel to shed that weight, that pounds, that dead weight, you know, and just finally getting out there and spreading your wings without that other guy kind of holding you back?
Yeah, there are a whole lot less gas station donuts that are being No, things are great. Things are great. It's a lot of fun to get to do this on my own. And obviously, Chris having a great start in Oakland, he's really blazed his own path. And for me, it's fun to get to be in this organization that's treated me so well. And I mean, I'm the real winner. I get to be on this show with you guys.
That's right.
He's going to sit alone in Berkeley.
Yeah, he's dead to us.
Yeah. Like I said, really good to see you guys.
Yeah, great to have you on. And of course, like we said, we know that the Diamondbacks have kind of been dipping into the minor league system. We've seen a lot of young guys kind of get some opportunities, and some of these guys that you've had a chance to cover and call their games.
Yeah, I mean, the first one that comes off the page is Blaze Alexander. I remember sitting on the show and talking about how we thought he was grossly underutilized last year. He looked ready for the big leagues, but obviously with crowding and the way that the lineup was assembled, there wasn't really a spot for him on the major league roster. I thought he was a major league level talent when I saw him 2 years ago. His ability to hit the breaking ball, his ability to control the strike zone. You can roll back the tape. We talked about him a whole lot as a player to keep your eye out on, and I love that he's having the success that many didn't think he would have, and now he's having. So he's picking up a lot of the slack that's being carried in certain portions of this lineup for Arizona, but this youth movement just continues and continues throughout the minor leagues and, of course, in the major leagues.
It's been interesting watching Blaze so far, Stefan, because, you know, what we'd heard was that it was maybe a glove first profile and, you know, talk of him having the best arm in the system, which is something we've certainly seen time and time again. I mean, his arm might be an 80 on the 20 to 80 scale, but it's been interesting. I mean, offensively, he's been such an asset for this Diamondbacks team. I mean, he's slashing 316, 371, 544. It's hard to ask for anything more than that. But defensively is really where he's struggled the most. He's made some, you know, some mistakes in some key situations. And obviously, he's a young player. There's going to be you know, the game certainly speeds up on you. I think once you get to the majors, that's something we see a lot of. But what was your perspective on him as a defensive player from what you saw in Amarillo?
He was nothing short of phenomenal. Now, the difference in Amarillo was he was the everyday shortstop to begin the season.
Yeah.
Last couple of years now, with Lawler moving up to Reno, and of course, you know, you have the other shortstops at the major league level. Blaze has had to adjust to play three out of four spots in the infield. I do want to bet he could play first if he didn't too. But now that he's being called on to play second base and shortstop and play up the middle almost every day when he's not DHing, it's an adjustment at the major league level to try and cover that ground. So I think that the glove is something that the fans don't need to worry about too much. He needs more reps. I don't know if he's going to be the long-term starting shortstop for the Arizona Diamondbacks, but I imagine that if he continues to hit the way that he will, that there will be opportunities for him to play almost every day. So I think they just need to figure out where they want him. Right now, it's more of a need rather than a want. They have Eugenio Suarez over at third. They have Ketel Marte, who I believe might be the best second baseman in the National League right now. Yeah. It has been quietly in the top three and in the conversation the last 5-6 years. So I think Blaze, you have nothing to worry about him defensively. It's just about him continuing to hit, him continuing to hit for power, finding the gaps, and control the strike zone like Torey Lovello has talked about.
His numbers so far this season in the majors are almost identical to his time with you guys with the Sod Poodles. I mean, nearly identical batting average, on-base percentage. OPS was 927 that season. It's 915 now. So I guess, I mean, it's probably not a big surprise to you that he's achieving this success, but do you realistically think that he would have been able to maintain what he was doing at a AA level when he got up to the majors?
Yeah, I have the utmost confidence in Blaze, and I know everybody's going to say that they called it, that they knew it, but Blaze has a certain swagger about him that you just notice whenever
he absolutely does.
He goes out onto the field, he looks smooth, he looks fluid, he's an amazing player and even better person. I think one of the things that is so important for professional athletes and professional baseball players especially is consistency throughout their career. I was just talking to one of the hitting coordinators for the Diamondbacks at breakfast today, and he made a good point. He was talking about how you could tear up AA, but major league pitching is really, really tough. And you can get shelled and shut out and really not have any success. Blaze has just continually improved, and that's a credit to all of his hitting coaches. He had Travis Denker the past 2 years. Now he's up at the major league level, and I think that consistency is so important for him. But yes, I do believe and did believe that Blaze was going to have this type of success. A couple of years ago, though, I thought he was going to get traded, you know, with Lawler waiting in the wings. And then, of course, you have Tom Troy, who's going to be another middle infielder in the Diamondbacks organization once he catches stride in Hillsborough. There's a whole lot of internal pressure on Blaze, not to mention that Geraldo Perdomo is typically the everyday shortstop for Arizona. So some opportunity have aligned for Blaze to get this shot. I'm glad that it's with Arizona, and I'm glad that he's accruing value for himself and continuing to show the baseball world what he can do.
We're gonna get to some guys who are actually currently with the Sod Poodles in a second, because I definitely want to ask you about several guys on the roster. But another guy that I know you're familiar with, who is not with the D-backs, not with Amarillo, he's in the in-between step in AAA Reno right now. Adrian Del Castillo is off to an unbelievable start. He had a 5-hit day yesterday. He is currently batting 370, which is pretty wild. He's averaging 370, 403, 699 to start the year. 5 homers, 17 RBI. I took a look at some of the expected stats you can find in StatCast, and they pretty much back up those numbers almost on the dot. He's been really, really good to start the year. I remember you talking about him a little bit with us last year when he was in Amarillo, and seeing him take some strides, not only offensively, but defensively as well. What kind of player do you think Del Castillo could ultimately be for the Diamondbacks?
Well, he's a left-handed hitting catcher that hits consistently. So, I mean, it's like a unicorn. He's been obviously he's developing rapport with a lot of the starting pitchers, with Montgomery being down there rehabbing, with guys like Slade Tony, Christian Mena. So there are a lot of players that he is going to be familiar with. Offensively, I think he's another one of those players that had difficulty in Hillsborough, which is a pitcher-friendly park, then comes to Amarillo and explodes. Nobody expected him to hit the way that he did with us last season. He got moved up to AAA with Ryan Bliss. He got moved up to AAA with a couple of other Sod Poodles right at the halfway point of the season last year. And he was hitting for power. He was hitting gap to gap. He was pulling the baseball better than we've seen. Termell Sledge did a whole lot of work with him. I know that for a fact. And I know Travis Denker continued that work. But you have to use expected stats when it comes to those two ballparks, at Hodgetown and, of course, in Reno, them being hitter-friendly parks. You almost have to measure what you're seeing But what Adrian's doing is almost unprecedented, considering his past track record. The bat tool is there. I remember talking to him at Globe Life Field when we were in Frisco last year. We all went to a Rangers-Braves game during the offseason. I looked at him and I said, what does it feel like to go and sit in a stadium and know that next year you could potentially be playing in an atmosphere like this? And he said, you know, I'm not even thinking like that. He said, hopefully, but I'm still in Double A. Well, he's going out and he's tearing the cover off the baseball. You have three really talented backup options in Double A and up right now in terms of their offensive output. You have Caleb Roberts, left-handed hitter, who just got put back on the roster from the IL. You have Jose Herrera, and then you have, of course, Adrian Del Castillo. So at some point, you got to assess that. Who do you imagine being in your future? And it's a good problem to have. Three really good hitting catchers that can maybe be moved over to different spots on the infield, like first, or with Caleb, you know, the outfield, he played left. So I think Adrian is really pacing those catchers right now, and Arizona is going to have some pressure, kind of like they did with Blaze Alexander. But of course, they signed Tucker Barnhart, who has some major league experience. I just hate seeing players rot in the minors, right?
Yeah.
They're doing what they need to do. They're going and they're pushing other players, and they're going and they're hitting. Go see what they can be at the major league level. And if you don't see a future, then I'm sure there are 29 other teams that probably do.
Well, and I was screaming from the rooftops about, you know, Blaze Alexander, for instance, because it was one of those things that, like, when do you start putting the performance and their ability to hit above this entire, you know, above everything else that you're doing here? When
Derek, like, wouldn't have taken it well if Blaze had not made it.
Yeah, I would have ride it. I literally would have ride it. Right. But it's like, you know, life finds a way. Right. And with the Arizona Diamondbacks, these injuries that have kind of plagued the main roster have given a lot of opportunities to young guys. And so far, Blaze, for instance, is a guy that's absolutely taken control of that and probably changed, like, the organization's perception of him. No matter how good you do at a minor league level, sometimes they don't really believe it's real until you're able to do it at a major league level. So I guess one side of this is the fact that they've been plagued by the injuries, which really sucks. But it, you know, how valuable are these opportunities for these young guys that might not have had a path to the majors otherwise, but now are getting a chance the way Blaze is?
Yeah, you hear that a whole lot in the minor leagues, where players that you feel like should be in AAA or pushing the majors are down in AA because they want, quote, to get consistent at bats. They want to play every single day.
Yeah.
I think there's something that logically is wrong with that. If you prioritize players, you have to be able to see who your homegrown talent is and how they can do it at the AAA level and beyond. Now, obviously, Arizona has a whole lot of mercenaries. That's the terminology that my dad uses. Whole lot of free agent signs for the AAA club, which you have to have when you have a team as young as the Diamondbacks are on the major league field. You have to have guys that can plug and play, that can come up from Reno, like Colton Wong, guys that can help out in the bullpen, which has obviously been a huge point of emphasis for Arizona this season. I think that sometimes you get players that are lost in translation and get caught in the weeds. The players that don't let it affect them, that go about their business and go to work, and situation be damned, go out and hit like Adrian Castillo has done, like Davison De Los Santos has done for us.
Yeah.
They're going to go out and find a way to the major league level, much like what Blaze did during spring training.
When I think, Stefan, about who the Diamondbacks' best pitching prospect is, it's become an increasingly difficult question to answer, mostly because, you know, the moment that Brandon Fott graduated from that list, he was, you know, pretty clearly occupied that spot, I think, for a while. But Yulber Diaz is someone that really comes to mind for me, is someone who has really, really good stuff. And I know that the numbers don't necessarily look great at this point in the year, 5.02 ERA through just a handful of starts. But obviously, that's an Amarillo, and he's also been really good the last couple of times out. What have you seen from Diaz so far this year?
Yeah, longevity and great command of his pitches. He has upper 90s fastball. He has a curveball that was ranked one of the best in the organization, and he keeps things off balance. Now, what he needs is a pitch that can break arm side. He needs a changeup. He needs a sinker. He needs something that can get lefties out a little bit more, because against righties, he's almost unhittable. Last year, he was one of the huge reasons why Amarillo won the Texas League Championship. Had a phenomenal start versus Arkansas. Had a phenomenal start in San Antonio, facing elimination. So I think that Yulber is probably the most talented pound-for-pound pitcher for the Saab Poodles. He might be one of the best in the Diamondbacks farm system. But of course, you can't forget about Yumin Lin, who's the number one pitching prospect.
Yeah.
Those six different pitches. But I think longevity is the key, right? A lot of these pitchers that are struggling to go five, six innings, and I know it's early in the season, are the ones that are starting to see themselves in newer roles. Luke Albright, an example, was a starter at the beginning of the year, now moved to the bullpen. The Diamondbacks have been really good at converting starters to solid relievers. Look at Bryce Jarvis as an example on the major league side. So yeah. I think that Yilber, to answer your question, is a phenomenal, phenomenal pitcher. Another right-handed arm that has velocity, and velocity will play. But because he has velocity, he's not shoeboxed into a particular role. He can become something else. He can be a middleman. He can be a setup man. Heck, maybe he can even be a closer with the heat that he has. And that type of versatility is going to be valuable for the Diamondbacks for years to come.
You mentioned Yumin Lin. I mean, Yumin Lin, yeah. I mean, I guess he's sort of the by-the-book answer for the Diamondbacks' number one pitching prospect. And we certainly saw in spring training, there were some live sessions where he was facing Diamondbacks hitters, where he was facing Jock Peterson and Corbin Carroll and Alec Thomas. Good. And I think he struck out like four out of five of them or something like that. And granted, it's on the backfield. It's a bit of a different environment, but we caught a glimpse for sure of the kind of pitcher that Yumin Lin could be. I know he's not off to a fantastic start necessarily in Amarillo, but again, you always have to take these numbers with a grain of salt. What have you seen from him so far?
Yeah, I think he's shown tremendous command of his pitches. He doesn't walk a whole lot of hitters.
Yeah.
The only issue is once he gets into the fifth inning, he starts to slow down a little bit. He gets out of attack mode. I think we've seen the fastball start to elevate in velocity up to 94, 95. But again, the cutter, the sinker, both pitches that run opposite directions, and they look pretty similar in terms of velocity. Then you've got the curveball, the slider, and the change. It's a great arsenal for him to have. He stopped throwing the splitter by and large this season. He really is a joy to watch. I think that for him, the next big thing is gaining some weight, being able to have the durability to go out through the course of the season and be that number one starter that the Saab Poodles and the Diamondbacks are hopefully looking for him to be. That pitch mix creates a whole lot of problems. He's striking out more than he's walking. He's always been a strikeout pitcher with that arsenal. But giving up a lot of runs, that's something that you can totally, totally forget about when it comes to Hodgetown. Also, some poor defensive play in his starts have allowed a couple of runs to come across. He gave up seven runs, five of them earned in his last start here in Frisco. But it's always fun to get to see him, and getting to see him pitch twice this week is an exciting thing for us to get to do.
Someone who has put up some pretty good numbers there in Amarillo is Emelian Montilla, which, as you may know, has a very similar name to one of the two hosts on this show. So my question isn't about his performance and more about can you steal me his jersey, I guess, is really what we were looking for here.
I can find a way. I can find a way to maybe get you a jersey out there. If you want, do you need his number 45? And I could maybe get him to sign it and bring it.
Yes to everything you're saying. You are just completely.
Derek, when's your birthday?
Oh, March 24th. It just passed.
Okay, so perfect. I could just get it to you as a birthday gift.
It's a late birthday gift is exactly what it is. You have no idea how excited.
Which style of jersey you want?
Oh, we'll talk. We'll talk off air because I'm sure this is incriminating, but very excited considering he's done for me already in my last name what like Miles Morales did for me for being like a mixed race Puerto Rican kid. Like representation is important, and to see a Montilla out there is fantastic, especially in the Diamondbacks organization. But again, I mean, there's some pretty good numbers here so far this season. I know he's only pitched four innings, but exciting to know that my namesake could be a potential weapon for this organization.
Yeah, your spirit is being channeled through him whenever he gets called in.
You get it. You get it.
So that's it's really, really cool to see what Emayin's doing. And we had him last year, a worldly player. I mean, he's played in Italy. He's played just all over the world. And I think this is his first trip through affiliated ball now with the Diamondbacks. And it's been quite the journey, but the fans love him, and his command of his pitches has been great, especially that fastball. He uses it more than anything.
Last couple guys on our list here, Stefan. Davison De Los Santos, obviously interesting story there with him being claimed by the Cleveland Guardians in the Rule 5 draft. We saw him play against the Diamondbacks in spring training. And then now, of course, he's back in the organization and seems to be off to a really, really good start for you guys there in Amarillo.
He's incredible. He is incredible. There's no other word to describe it. His consistency at the plate cannot be overstated. And the strikeout numbers are down. Hard hit is way up.
Yeah.
He leads the club in home runs. The guy just sprays the ball over the field. And the coolest thing about it is it isn't all just extra base hits. It's not home run or strikeout kind of like it was last year. He's seeing the ball up the middle. He's hitting line drives. He's pushing the ball to the opposite field. He hit a home run, just a seed to right field in game one against Frisco. He and Melendez both did. And that's something that we love to see. I talked to him, just asking him jokingly, what's better, Cleveland or here? And he said, here. I'm so happy to be back. It worked out. And Mike Hazen, again, putting on a masterclass. He had to find a way to get De Los Santos back. Fortunately, outfield is not his strongest position.
Yeah.
The Guardians couldn't hold on to him, but the D-backs get him back. I imagine we'll see him in Reno, and that's more power that the Diamondbacks, I think, are going to be happy that they have more right-handed power, might I add. And
that's a good point.
He's working on the defense, so we'll see how that comes along.
Slashing 359, 423, 656. That's some impressive numbers that I would have expected him to put up after he left the organization, not when he came back, right? Because that's how things work out for us sometimes. But great to see him doing so well after coming back here. And it's what the development is all about, right? Like, these guys sometimes struggle, but some coaching and sometimes the right mindset can completely change, you know, what they're able to do at the plate.
Yeah, I can't stress enough how important it's been to have consistency with the coaching staff here in Amarillo. You have, you know, Termell Sledge is back, and of course Tom Gorzolani, the pitcher coach, yes. And Ronnie Gajownik, who is beloved in this organization, is back to the bench coach. She was there 2 years ago in that role after Javier Colina went down. Now he, of course, is the manager in Hillsboro. And Tim Bogart coming in as the manager, plenty of major league experience. They've done such a good job at helping to develop these players already. A couple have gone up to AAA, especially on the relief pitching side. Bullpen is usually never good to start the season in Amarillo. Well, the last three games, zero earned runs in just over 13 innings pitched. I love seeing the way that they have really grown into themselves. And players like De Los Santos and Melendez benefit from that. Vukovic benefit from that, getting to have a consistent coach that knows how to coach them, knows their coaching style.
Yeah.
And it will help them as they head on to Reno and then eventually to the big leagues.
Yeah, anything else?
I think that's all I got.
Well, thanks,
Stefan.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much for stopping by. And of course, we'll have you back on, because we're going to need these updates on all these guys that our Diamondbacks fans want to know about, want to kind of keep updated on. And of course, you always have some wonderful insights. So thank you again for stopping by.
You guys are the best. You know, I'll probably find my way over to Phoenix at Scottsdale by the end of the season. You know, you can't avoid it. So
we'll put a chair right here for you. We already got it waiting for you.
Yeah, we'll have to go get dinner or something sometime, and maybe get a sponsorship with a local tequila company, if you know what I'm saying.
But I love that idea.
Yeah, look forward to hearing from you guys, Derek. So glad to hear your mom's doing better. And
thank you.
You know, rooting hard for the D-backs, and always here if you need me. And I could be your minor league insider. That could be my official title.
There we go.
It's already done. That's done. That job has been given to you. So we appreciate it. Thank you so much for stopping by, sir.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. See you soon.
Thanks, Stefan.
He, obviously the better of the two Carey twins.
Yeah,
right?
100%. Like,
there's no 100% doubt that we got the right one on. But, of course, we thank you guys for being here in the PHNX Sports YouTube channel. If you haven't subscribed to the channel yet, make sure to do so now. Sign up for notifications. That way you don't miss whenever our wonderful shows go live, or like today when we eventually go live. But, of course, also, we appreciate you dropping us a like. And on the audio podcasting side, we appreciate you subscribing. Your favorite app over there as well. Drop us a review. We always appreciate that feedback. And of course, we very much appreciate those 5-star reviews. Something you might appreciate is BetMGM's Grand Slam Jackpot promotion. Tomorrow is the day. It's Friday. Weekend is almost here again. Every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday through the Major League Baseball season, you can get down on this weekly bet promotion. Place a $10 or more wager on any player to hit a home run every weekend. If that player hits a grand slam on that day, you can win up to $50,000 in daily prizes or a share of the prize with every other winning bettor. So what better time to make not only make some money on a home run, but maybe it's a grand slam, maybe make yourself even more money than you could have imagined. So sign up right now and use our bonus code of PHNX if you are a new user. Download the Sportsbook app on iOS or Android or visit BetMGM.com. Place, of course, deposit at least $10 into your BetMGM sports account and place that first wager. You'll receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if the bet loses. If the bet does lose, your bonus bets will be available once your initial wager is settled. So again, sign up for that BetMGM Sportsbook app. Use our bonus code of PHNX. Place your first sportsbook wager through the Sportsbook mobile app for at least $10. You will receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if the bet loses. Check out the show notes for full details. And now listen to Shane talk about the disclaimer.
Bonus bets expire in 7 days. One new customer offer only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY, 467-369, New York. Call 1-800-327-5050, Massachusetts. 21 plus only. Please gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP, Arizona. 1-800-BETS-OFF-IOWA. 1-800-981-0023, Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Bonus bets are non-withdrawable. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in New York, Nevada, North Carolina, Ontario, or Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico. Well, we were going to talk about Circle K, but I still am wondering what Ralph was talking about on ASU right before we transitioned over to the show. I know Danielle has some insight on that.
I don't
that.
Think it's Max approves.
Okay, well, we will make sure to do that on our personal time. But, of course, we know Circle K is a great place to stop to fill yourself up. And right now, gas is not very cheap out there, but it is fairly cheap at Circle K. And it could get even cheaper if you sign up for their Inner Circle program right now. Join the Inner Circle for free by downloading the Circle K app today. Terms and conditions apply. Participating locations, visit CircleK.com for details. But when you do, you'll save 25 cents per gallon on your first five fill-ups. You also save 3 cents per gallon every day after that. And if you're a premium member, you'll save 5 cents. And of course, it does stack with their other discount, like their Easy Pay. So make sure you save yourself some money when filling up. Also, fill yourself up. It is America's Thirst Stop. Get yourself a bevy of products there. And they have all of them on sale through their app. It's like everything is on sale. But most importantly, do not sleep on the Circle K branded snacks. I am convinced now that Circle K branded snacks are in fact the superior snack at Circle K. I don't have any research to back that up other than my own taste buds, but Circle K does it right. So make sure sign up for that Inner Circle promotion for free. Get yourself some free stuff. Well, it is time once again for us to take a look around Major League Baseball and unleash our power rankings for this week. And of course, There's a new contender that's kind of moved in here at the bottom. So let's take a look at those power rankings. Things have not changed up at the top for the first three spots. It still goes Atlanta Braves, New York Yankees, Baltimore Orioles, 1, 2, 3. The Cleveland Guardians have moved up to the fourth spot, rightfully so, because the Guardians do have the best run differential in baseball, and they have absolutely been killing it. Dodgers dropped down another spot. So, hey, more good news here. Dodgers dropped down to the fifth spot, and then another couple teams haven't moved. We got the Royals still at 6. Brewers still at 7. The Phillies are up one spot to 8. The Cubs up one spot to 9, and the Reds make their debut with Ellie looking pretty dope with the Viking helmet on. I'm really digging the Viking helmet.
He's also been pretty decent at the plate, Derek. Ellie De La Cruz so very far good. This season has a 1063 OPS.
Good Lord.
7 homers and 15 stolen bases. Not even through a month. This is
looking
this
at
is
you,
outrageous.
Corbin.
This
looking
is
at
outrageous.
You, Corbin.
Yeah. That comparison looked pretty good for the Diamondbacks last year.
It did.
Still,
it worked
still pretty
out.
Early to be
he
making
can't
it this
get
year,
rookie but, of the year this year, can he? Right. So yeah. That's a squandered opportunity. He can't get his team another draft pick. That's also a squandered opportunity. But one thing I want to point out, I'm tired of the Diamondbacks abandoning anything that they do when it comes to winning, just because I think deep down inside they fear that it's a bad luck curse on them, right? We know that's where JJ came from. We had to sew his head back on, sew his tongue back in his mouth. Yeah. We had the vest, you know? It seems like Lourdes is at the core of a lot of this stuff, because Lourdes brought the vest last year. He's also the one that's doing the zip and the throwing the key away, you know, celebration. But I don't want this team to back away from things like that. Like, look how magnificent he looks in that Viking helmet. Can we put that image back up there of the power rankings? Because this man just looks, it looks incredible. It looks incredible.
Yeah, I do feel, I mean, the D-backs at this point, they just don't have like a home run celebration. It's just not a thing they do.
It doesn't, look it. What does a Viking helmet have to do with the Cincinnati Reds is my question. Nothing, but they made it their thing, right? They made it their thing. The St. Louis Cardinals have a goddamn AEW championship belt that my friend Swerve gave them. I hate that. Me and him are at odds about that. But he's also a Los Angeles Rams fan, and we argue about that all the time as well. But, I mean, that's football again, and I promise we would not give you any football analysis here on today's show, only baseball. But, again, taking a look back at those power rankings, the Braves continue to be the Braves, plus 44 run differential. They are incredible. But what else you got here?
Yeah, well, we do have the Atlanta Braves playing the Cleveland Guardians this weekend, which should be kind of a fun, it seems like kind of a fun matchup between those two teams, given how they're playing right now.
Sure.
And yeah, the Cleveland Guardians, Derek, are 18-7, and they have, you know, not only the best run differential in baseball, but the second best record in baseball.
It's pretty impressive.
I continue to be very, very impressed and still slightly skeptical. Like, I'm still a little... It's a little bit conflicting for me to have the Los Angeles Dodgers lower in our power rankings than the Cleveland Guardians.
I love it. You love to see the season.
But yeah, I mean, you have to give them credit for what they've done so far. And yeah, outside of that, not a ton of movement. The Phillies just beat up on the Rockies and the White Sox. That went about as you'd probably have expected it to. Their starting rotation has been spectacular. They're 16-10. This was a really good week for them. The Cubs continue to stay afloat. As people mentioned in the chat, yeah, Cody Bellinger is out with a rib fracture. That's a big loss for them for sure. Seiya Suzuki, I know, has also missed some time. So they're going through it a bit with the injuries. Justin Steele, of course, has been out for the first few weeks of the season. But to be 15-9 at this point in the year for them is pretty impressive.
I would take it for the Diamondbacks, considering how many injuries they've gone through. I don't know if any team is quite as injured as the Diamondbacks, but it does still seem like a lot of teams have lost major pieces of their starting rotation, of their starting lineup. So, you know, so much so that once again, there's people scrutinizing the pitch clock and if that's causing it and doing all of that jazz. But some teams have been able to stay relatively healthy. I did want to touch on Ohtani, because Ohtani has just been worth every dime, right?
Yeah.
Like, we didn't want that. We definitely didn't want that. We wanted him to just go in a downward spiral once this whole, thing. We finally had a controversy. We thought it was going to ruin him. It didn't. In fact, the controversy might have made him stronger, because he's leading like in most offensive categories in all of baseball, right?
Yeah, he has the best OPS in baseball at 1129. He has the best batting average at 371. He is also recovering from Tommy John surgery, which, as we discussed, some sort of elbow surgery. I don't know if they ever officially called it Tommy John, but we talked in the offseason about how it's not necessarily a given, or it didn't feel like a given, that Ohtani's offense would be, you know, completely not affected at all by overcoming that surgery. And so far, I mean, yeah, this is the best that Ohtani's really ever looked at the plate. And I was very skeptical of people, giving him MVP love entering the season. Never had a designated hitter win that award before, but I mean, if he has an 1130 OPS the whole year, like,
give it to him.
You might win the MVP if you have an 1130 OPS, even if you're giving your team no defensive value whatsoever. Ohtani's been that good early on in the season.
The Reds, of course, that's the only team here kind of making their debut and kind of, finding their way onto the top 10. What were your thoughts here with the Reds overall? And do you think that, I mean, we know that they're a young, exciting team, and we've already seen that last season. Do you think that they can actually, put it together this year?
Yeah, it's going to depend on the pitching for me. I still don't know if we feel like the Reds rotation is all that great. There have been all the Reds D-backs comparisons, and the biggest difference continues to be that the D-backs have Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly, and the Reds don't.
Do they?
Although now the D-backs don't have Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly, because Merrill Kelly is out with a shoulder injury and might miss several months. But Yeah, the Reds offense, it continues to really impress me. I mean, the fact that Matt McClain is on the injured list, TJ Friedl's on the injured list. I don't believe either of those guys have played at all. But because of what Ellie De La Cruz is giving you, because of what Spencer Steer is giving you, he's been really impressive early in the season. Yeah, I mean, that offense is good enough that it seems like it's gonna have the Reds hanging around for a while. So it feels like we kind of cycle through a new team in the number 10 slot every week.
Yeah, we move some teams around there at the bottom, a couple of move one or two spots. But so far, the baseball teams that are good this year continue to be good. The Cubs, they have their own injuries to overcome, but if they can continue to play above 500 baseball, they have a lot of key components coming back, just like the Diamondbacks do. But the Diamondbacks right now, they would be on the bubble of this list as one of the honorable mentions at 9 and 10, would still with a really good plus 19 run differential. Of course, another team hanging around right there are the Padres, who are just a few games ahead of the Diamondbacks in the NL West at 11 and 10 with a plus 12.
Sorry, I think that's my mistake. I think those numbers are old.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
Ignore everything Derek just said.
Because Jesse fed me misinformation. But the Padres still have, I'm guessing that's from last week. These numbers are all from last week. Because the Diamondbacks have
the D-backs much are no higher plus 9
run,
and 10.
Run differential. But I mean.
Yeah, the D-backs, they were only plus 19 last week when we did this, Derek.
Yeah, where are they
now? Now they're plus 35, I believe.
Yeah, are they still?
And they went 3 and 4.
Do they qualify in your honorable mention still?
They would probably still qualify in my honorable mentions. I continue to be the type of person who does value run differential quite a bit early in the season, just because you're dealing with such a small sample size of games. Like, if you're like minus 20 at this point, but you're above 500, I'm going to be pretty skeptical of you.
Sure.
And on the flip side, if you're below 500, but you're, you know, plus 30 something like the Diamondbacks are, you know, that is a pretty good sign. But at the same time, I think we all understand that the way that the Diamondbacks have gotten to that run differential, right? It's that they've blown out teams a handful of times, and pretty much all of the positive comes from, you know, two or three games this season. So I'm not quite sure that plus 35 is really indicative of exactly how good of a team the D-backs are.
How dare you? They're tied for second place with the highest run differential in the National League. The Braves have a plus 44 run differential. Diamondbacks tied with the Brewers for second at plus 35. The Colorado Rockies already have a minus 57 run differential.
Yeah, that's a bad. It's a really bad baseball team.
Let's just move them.
Have you looked at the Chicago White Sox run differential?
No. Oh my God.
The White Sox are minus 80.
Minus 85. Oh my God.
They are 3-22.
Wow. Well, it could be worse, Diamondbacks fans.
Pace to win. Let me figure this out real quick. Oh my gosh.
No, you're not going to do a pace.
The White Sox are on pace to go 19.
20 games?
And 143.
No, that's impossible. That's impossible.
It feels impossible, Derek. But have you seen that? Have you seen that team? Oh, man.
Oh, man. Well, I tell you, the team I've seen recently and heard Shane yelling about a lot in the office is the Seattle Mariners. Yeah. And that's who the Arizona Diamondbacks have to deal with coming up. Let's take a look at the probable pitchers, which we still, I don't believe we've gotten a confirmation on this, but this is how things line up right now for this series. Of course, there could be changes because I think Zach Gallen is the only official pitcher that's been put up by MLB.com, but that might have changed already. But we would hypothetically have Gallen going up against Kirby, Ciccone going up against Hancock, and Fott going up against Gilbert.
We actually do have more official information. They actually made a swap here. So Emerson Hancock is pitching against Zach Gallen, and now George Kirby's been moved to the Saturday game.
All right.
So I don't really know. I don't think that's how it lined up. That's a little odd that the Mariners are doing that. But same three starters that the D-backs are getting. George Kirby, Emerson Hancock, and Logan Gilbert.
Got your 6.10 ERA or your 5.33 ERA. Pick your poison there with those hurlers.
I mean, George Kirby and Logan Gilbert are both really freaking good.
Yeah.
Logan Gilbert has a sub 2
Logan
ERA.
Gilbert's been incredible this season.
George Kirby is not off to a strong start, but he's still a very, very good pitcher who never walks anyone. Emerson Hancock, by far the weakest pitcher on paper that the D-backs get in this series. He's off to a bit of a rough start.
So he'll be going up against Gallen.
Right? Yeah. Right? Zach Gallen against Emerson Hancock, which makes the Friday game, like, that's a... it's a game you're going to want to win in this series, because after that, the D-backs don't really have a you know, the pitching matchup doesn't really favor them for the last two games of the series. So,
well, of course, that means that the Diamondbacks are going to put up 20 runs in that game and then lose the other two by a score of 3-1 and 2-0.
I feel like what would be more on brand is if they lost the Gallen game by like a couple runs, you know, in the way that they often do.
Slade and pitches then, brilliantly and they
then
put up
Slade
19.
Slade goes like 7 scoreless and they put up 19 runs.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
absolutely. And then Brandon Pfaadt and Logan Gilbert, that one will
no,
be
No, Brandon
another.
Does good too. He gives up 2 in like 6 innings and then Pfaadt gets no
good.
Run support.
Yeah, Gallen might be pretty good too. But they're
I hate to have even saying these things. Let's just stop talking right now. I'm sure they don't want to hear this at all.
Can already chalk it up, Derek. They're going to outscore the Mariners by 10 runs this weekend and they're going to lose 2 out of 3, right? That's just it's the way things have gone for the D-backs so far.
Is it Toby Puppy? Toby Puppy.
Friend of the Coyotes program,
Toby Puppy says Swedish and still sad over Coyotes. Aww. We are as well. Maybe learn stuff about baseball so I can I still can support Arizona. We would love to have you. Jesse will absolutely teach you everything about FIP and XBH and all sorts of stuff. XBA. But I won't teach you any of that stuff. But I will I don't know, possibly get drunk and sing a song kind of like PD does. I don't know, we'll see. But of course we do appreciate you being here and we thank you so much for loving the Coyotes, and yes, we do welcome you into our little tribe here in the baseball world. Speaking of that, one thing we do around here is sometimes we get jealous. We might drink a little too much and we might spy on our exes, so let's get to spying on some of our exes from the Seattle Mariners, because of course Josh Rojas is making us regret losing him in any way, shape, or form. Currently leads the Mariners in batting average, slashing .315, .383, .463 with an .846 OPS. Also, Jesse, lighting the world on fire as a reliever.
Yeah.
9.00 ERA in 2.0 innings pitched.
We've always said he's a two-way player, Derek.
I knew
We've always said that.
Forget Ohtani. We always knew Josh Rojas was going to emerge as the true two-way player in Major League Baseball.
Rojas has been good. Since the Diamondbacks traded Josh Rojas to the Mariners, he has been a very, very good baseball player.
Yep.
Maybe very, very good. I don't want to overstate that, but like he's been an above-average, solid contributor for that Mariners team in a way that he obviously got off to a rough start with the D-backs last year. Even looking at the expected numbers for Rojas early in the season, like he has a .354 ex-WOBA at this point, which is using his expected stats. It basically reads like an on-base percentage, but it also factors in the quality of contact. There I go again. That's a really good number. .354 is a really good number. Think of it like an on-base percentage. That would be a good on-base percentage. He has not had an ex-WOBA higher than .320. In any prior season in his big league career. So the quality of contact has been really good for Rojas so far. And, you know, I don't know if he's going to hit .306 or whatever it is for the rest of the year, but what he's done so far has really not been a fluke.
We miss you, Ro. Another guy we miss, Dominic Canzone, unfortunately currently on the 15-day IL for the Mariners, has a sprained AC joint in his left shoulder as of right now.
Yeah, it's tough. Canzone he's hit a few like dramatic homers for the Mariners in his short stay there. He hasn't really gotten on base a ton since the trade. He had a .248 on base percentage last year.
He's already a legend there though.
Yeah, .286 on base percentage this year, but he hit 5 homers last year in 44 games. This year he had 3 homers in 14 games, and it seems like a lot of those have been in pretty big moments for the Mariners. So, yeah, I mean, we said it when the D-backs traded for Paul Sewald, right?
Yeah.
The price to make that deal was not low, right? When you're giving up Ryan Bliss and you're giving up both of these guys, right? Rojas and Canzone, that's a lot for a year and a half of a closer who's only going to pitch about 50 innings. You know, this season, I guess he could still maybe reach around 50 innings. He pitched, you know, maybe 20 innings or so down the stretch last year. Of course, D-backs, that's a move that they should have made. Like, I'm not saying it's a move that they would regret making in any sense. Obviously it was a need that they had and they addressed it, but it wasn't cheap, and we've seen that. We've certainly seen that.
We went
far
to the goddamn World Series, Jesse. There is no price that's too high. 100%. I mean, for the fact that the Diamondbacks made the run that they did, and they would not have even made the playoffs if it wasn't for Paul Sewald. So 100%. The sacrifice was worth it. However, yes, now you get to go see Josh Rojas rake in Seattle. And as much as we want to root for him, it's a little painful to see that because, again, there was times where Rojas very much felt like he was going to be part of this core with these other young players that went on to, you know, have the success that they had as a team last year. I'm sure it sucks for Rojas to see the team go off and do the things that he did. And I hope that someone mailed him a National League championship ring. I'm just saying that might be something nice to do, but maybe too much, maybe too much. Maybe I went too far, but
I don't know. I mean, I think he would have been offered one. I'm not totally sure if he accepted it. I would think he probably would have.
That would be, it would be a good move. It'd be great to see him get that. But yeah. Of course, this series, very important for the Diamondbacks to get themselves back on track. Of course, a series sweep, if they are somehow able to sweep the Mariners, does put them back into contention for dyeing my hair purple. Because then they would just need to win one from the Dodgers. Right? So they need to just go 4-1 here to wrap up the month. Is that possible? I'm not saying it's impossible, but I did cancel my hair dyeing appointment. So anyway, we thank you guys for being here. We also thank you very much for being diehards. If you are a diehard, if you are not a diehard yet, sign up at gophnx.com. Get yourself a wonderful t-shirt like this Cardinals one I'm rocking right now in honor of us holding the line together as a group. You get all sorts of wonderful content, including Jesse's written content, access to our Discord lounge, which is the best place to be an Arizona sports fan. We do some exclusive content in there, as well as all the other wonderful benefits, including discounts on our upcoming event, like our takeover at Chase Field coming up here very soon. It's Gabby Moreno bobblehead night, so do not miss that. We also have our pool party on July 31st and then a third takeover later in the year, and I'm not even going to pretend like I know the date of that takeover.
Sometime
in August.
Yeah.
Maybe September. I don't know.
Sometime between July and October, I would assume.
There's a lot of time between now and then, okay? A lot of things could happen between now and then. But one thing that you could get in on between now and then is getting yourself a free $200 from Desert Financial Credit Union. Not only that, but you can bank with Arizona's largest, most trusted local credit union and has been for over 84 years. Desert Financial Team are financial experts who are committed to their members and the community, offering financial solutions tailored to helping real people achieve their financial goals and dreams. They helped me with that. They got me started on my home ownership journey, and they can help you as well. When you open a free checking account online, you can get $200 in bonuses. Get started by visiting desertfinancial.com/200. And again, we talked about our events, but if you want to get yourself tickets to any major sporting event, including baseball games, football games, all of that stuff, concerts, comedy shows, and more, check out our friends at Game Time. Game Time, you can save up to 60% off by buying tickets last minute for all of that stuff. You can save even more with exclusive in-app deals on select seats ahead of the game. They give you an opportunity to see a panoramic view from your seat, so you can check out what the view is going to look like before you buy. And they have the lowest price guaranteed, or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the app, create an account, and use code PHNX for $20 off your first purchase. Terms do apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PHNX for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Well, our very own Craig Morgan had Diamondbacks president Derek Hall in our office. Apparently he was not here to make sure I was terminated, which I know many people thought that was the case.
Yes, yes.
It made all the sense logically in the world. But of course, that interview with Derek Hall is available right now on our YouTube channel if you want to check that out.
Yes.
But we do have a few clips here from Derek and that interview, and we kind of wanted to chat about some of his answers, specifically about the Diamondbacks run last year and their additions at the trade deadline.
Yeah, let's go ahead, and there's a lot of good stuff in this interview. I will quickly plug that we don't have this clip to show today, but you all should go watch it for honestly just this reason alone. Derek Hall did do a brief Ken Kendrick impersonation.
Yes. And a Vin interview. Scully, by
and
the
a
way.
Vin Scully, yes.
Worth the price of admission alone.
Worth
right
the
there.
Price of admission. So we don't have that, but you should go check it out so that you can see that. And
this is a teaser
else.
For that, but we're telling you that because we want to entice you to go watch the whole interview. But
it was pretty. That was pretty amazing. But yes, this is. We'll start with the first one here. This is Derek Hall talking about the trade deadline last year and the what was a very difficult decision at the time to push in the chips and go make the moves that the Diamondbacks did.
We hit the skids, and here we were, two games under 500, and wondering if we could claw our way out of it, and it was right around the trade deadline. And, you know, Hazen and I had several conversations, and Mike's like, I completely understand if you don't want to do anything with this team the way we're playing. And we all thought, no, we're going to do it. We're going to send a message to Torrey and to the players. And we went out and addressed needs then, went and got our closer. We went and got Tommy Pham, who was so important. You know, just the moves that we made, I think, at the deadline were great and helped propel us over the top. And that's why we felt like we had to do more this offseason for that same approach and for the same reason.
It's got to be such a fulfilling concept to have a team that you theoretically shouldn't have added to because it did not look like it was going to be a very good baseball team.
Yeah.
Was absolutely circling the drain at the time. And you just made that decision to say, let's do it anyway. And then the results were what the results were. And this team ends up making it all the way to the World Series. You know, like that. Yeah. I can only imagine how much, like, even if you're not patting yourself on the back in meetings and such, there's got to be those moments where you just look in the mirror and go, God damn it, that was the right decision. Like, that was such, like, I'm so glad that we trusted our instincts and decided to add to this team at that moment, despite the fact that everything historically would probably tell you that that team is not worth you making those moves at that time for.
The vibes weren't great with the Diamondbacks in July, Derek.
No.
His baseball team did not exactly scream like, yes, you should definitely make investments to, you know, try to get this team into the playoffs. They were, as you heard Derek describe there, like, this team was really struggling all of a sudden in July. And we spent a lot of time on the show covering potential trade targets and, you know, guys the D-backs could maybe acquire. And we reached the point of like, does it even make sense? Like, does it really make sense to invest prospect capital into a team that is now below 500? Like, does this team really have a shot to really do much of anything?
We started very loud with our trade ideas, and we got quieter the closer that we got to the trade deadline, and the more this team lost in July. Like, it was easy to lose faith in this team as a whole, not to mention the fact that you also had Mike Hazen at the time talking about not trading prospects and not wanting to get away, like, kind of wanting to move some pieces that were from the major league roster and make this team better going that route, and that just didn't even seem very likely, and yet they still were able to pull off the trades they did and improve this team and somehow miraculously make it as far as they did.
Yeah, I mean, it's the right call for the D-backs to do that. In retrospect, if they don't push in the chips, I mean, it goes without saying, D-backs don't make the playoffs, they don't make the World Series,
right?
And the ramifications of that are enormous, because think about why the D-backs were able to invest in Jordan Montgomery, why they were able to be as aggressive as they were this offseason. Obviously, it hasn't gone great so far, but there's still plenty of season left. The reason that they are still in a pretty decent position overall is because they went as deep as they did. They made a whole bunch of extra money at the end of the year that they weren't really expecting to make. And yeah, like I said, the ramifications of that are, I mean, potentially going to be felt for a long time here. So yeah, it's amazing how that one decision to push in the chips, the impact is huge.
The ramifications might be felt this trade deadline as well, not just for this team, but all throughout Major League Baseball. We talked about how last year, the trade deadline, pieces weren't moving, trades weren't getting accomplished. And part of that was because what the Phillies had done the year prior with just sneaking into the playoffs and then their team making it as far as they did. And now you've had that amplified by the Diamondbacks doing it essentially a second year in the row as the final team to make it into the playoffs and make it as far as they did. You're going to have teams that are hovering right around 500 and are even below 500 that might still think they have a shot when the trade deadline comes around. It's going to impact the way that certain GMs and certain teams run their organizations, because they're going to believe they still have the pieces or they still have a shot at making a run in the playoffs. And honestly, when you get there, as long as you get there, anything can happen. And I think the Diamondbacks, of course, knew that last year. But I don't think, according to what we're going to hear from Derek Hall, that the belief there was that this team was going to make it to the World Series. Understandably so. We were doing the exact same thing on this show where we were saying, like, hey, it would just be great if they got in. Hey, it would be great for these young guys to get some experience in the postseason and just be able to have much like the way with some of the younger players, the Diamondbacks kind of called them in, you know, towards the end of the season so that they could get their feet wet in Major League Baseball before having their true rookie year the next year. Corbin Carroll obviously had some pretty good results when it came to that. This, though, from Derek Hall, I think is kind of what some of us were feeling. And I think this is the clip. I might be setting this up wrong.
But. No, we'll go to the one where Derek Hall is talking about the D-backs postseason run. And I love his candor as he's talking about it.
I mean, we can all feel it. This is what he had to say.
Just backing our way in, barely getting in. And then I thought, okay, we're going to go to Milwaukee. You know, we're going to face Peralta and Burns. It's going to be tough, but it's going to be great experience for that young team. They're going to lose, but it'll be all right. They sweep them. Now we're going to L.A. Well, we know how we play against L.A. All right. It's still, this is going to be even better experience, right? They just beat Milwaukee, but we're going to go there. And if we lose, that's all right. It was a good experience. And we sweep them. And it's, wow. Well, now we got to play Philly. And so we go to Philly. Of course, we drop the first two. We come back. We didn't even things up, but we kept ourselves in it. Went back to Philly, and you have to win 7-8. Or 6-7. I mean, what are the chances of winning games 6-7 in Philadelphia? And that's one of the most hostile places I've ever been, and to their credit. And we pulled that off.
In every sport, by the way.
In every sport, true. Not just baseball.
Yeah.
And then to be on that stage, I mean, Craig, that's what you dream of. And to have that trophy, you know, I was numb. And I remember thinking, this is what you want, right? You want the World Series trophy, of course, more so. But to be in Philadelphia and to hear this little hum of boos before they all left, you know, the fans just booing us on stage and watching the smiles on those guys' faces and the hugs, and then going back to the hotel where the families were all there and we had this little party ready to go. I'm on a bus going back and I tell my wife, why don't you go in? I'll meet you in the ballroom in a little bit. I'll be right there. And I went up to my hotel room, walked in the dark, sat down on the couch and just started bawling. Like, this is unbelievable. And then, please, can we win the World Series? But anyway, it was just great being there.
I mean, it was great being there. And I think, like you said, about his candor, right? Like, that not a lot of people want to admit that. Mike Hazen would have never been on an interview admitting that he didn't think this team was going to do it. But I mean, come on.
He can be pretty candid too. Derek Hall, I just love Derek Hall being like, they're going to go in, they're going to face Peralta and Burns. They're going to lose, but it's going to be a good experience.
I mean, it sounded very much like conversations we had ourselves, right? But it's like, again, when you have a young team that's exciting and on the rise, you're satisfied with them making those steps, right? And you're also satisfied with the end result of winning a championship not being there yet. You're satisfied with the progression you made. We made the playoffs. We've made it so far from that season just two seasons ago where we lost 100 plus games.
And 110.
To be 110. And to be where you're at now has to just feel good just to make it to the postseason, right? But then the team does what it does. And of course, a huge part of that is Torey Lovullo. I know so far this season we have questioned a lot of what Torey Lovullo has done, and rightfully so. I'm sure even Torey would admit that it's right to question some of his decisions. He questions his own decisions. He had an entire conversation with Barry Bloom about questioning his decisions, in which Barry actively questioned his decisions just in front of all of us. And Torey just sat there and had an open discussion with this person who we have to put up with around here, Barry Bloom. No, we love Barry, but
we love Barry.
Torey especially loves Barry, right? But I mean, rightfully so, Torey, you know, at times has had his ups and downs with this team. And I mean, he had a very hot start as a manager when he was hired and he came here and he was able to do what he did in his first season. But then there was some very bad times as manager. And of course, you know, there always is that reaction. There always is that, like, well, it's time to fire the manager. It's time to fire, you know, the GM. It almost feels like a natural progression after you lose 110 games to just kind of clean house and change direction. And the Diamondbacks, they didn't do that.
Yeah, the Diamondbacks decided to stick by Torey Lovullo and Mike Hazen at a time where other organizations might not have. And in retrospect, you know, Torey so far, I know he's made some decisions that people haven't liked, as you said, but you can understand why he's still here, right? I mean, the way that players just seem to really gravitate toward him and enjoy playing for him. And Mike Hayes in the full body of work here. Certainly there have been some mistakes along the way. He'd be the first person to tell you, but the full body of work here in Arizona, I think we can all agree, has been pretty good. And yeah, here is Derek Hall talking about standing by Torrey, standing by you know, some of the guys at the helm here when times were tough.
We had a terrible year on the field at the big league level, but you get a sense of who Torrey is. And Torrey Lovello is such a great man and great manager, but it's because he's such a good man and he's got a huge heart and he cares so much for his players and they love him. Again, I said, like my father going through a wall, those players would go through a wall for Torrey because he's honest. He communicates. He's vulnerable. He's not afraid to use the word love. I mean, you know, the first day of spring training, even that bad year was, and after the bad year, you need to love each other. And I love you. And you have to, you know, you're going to have disagreements. You're going to have arguments. First day of spring training, every team thinks they're going to win, and they all say the same thing, but yeah, his is just a little different, right? It's heartfelt. You believe him, and you want to love this guy, and you want to play hard for him, and we just felt that way. We thought we could turn it around. We thought we were knocking on the door, and at the end of that 22 year, you know, we saw something, right? The fans, it was that next year, the fans were really excited about the product and about the young guys coming up when they saw, at the time it was Varsho, but it was Carroll, and it was McCarthy, and it was Thomas, and there was so much excitement, even though we were still losing and we had a bad record, it really carried over. That momentum carried over. And at the end of that year, I had more of my counterparts at the owners' meetings come up to me and say, we hated playing you guys. I just want to tell you, our team does not like playing you. And that, you know, you puff your chest out a little bit with that. Mm-hmm. You're like, ooh, we're on to something. And I'm glad we stuck to them because it paid off.
I would absolutely run through a wall for Torrey Lovello. Without him asking, I would just do it because I'd want to impress him and I'd want him to think I was cool because that's how Torrey is. He'd probably watch me do it and he'd just go, sick, is what he would do.
Yeah, he would. Yeah.
He would just, that's all. But yeah, no, he's right. I mean, Torrey is the kind of guy that players want to play for, the kind of guy that is perfect for an organization like this that is going to, I mean, this was an outlier, right? The fact that they added as many free agents and made the moves that they did this offseason to make the roster better. But this team going forward, this organization moving forward, is most likely going to continue to build through their young players in their minor league system. It's going to be a vital part of this team's success. And that's the reason why Torrey is such a good manager for that. I feel like he really does manage in a way that allows these young players to come up to feel comfortable and to be themselves and to have the success that we're seeing guys like Corbin Carroll have last year and Blaze Alexander have this year.
Yeah. I totally agree with all of that. And I know people are going to question certain decisions here and there that Torrey's made this year. I don't think the D-backs are 12-14 because of Torrey Lovello's mistakes.
Might be 14-12, but
Maybe. I don't even really think there's necessarily a ton of evidence for that. It's always hard. Fair. It's always hard to nitpick
and say, like, well, if you would have done this, it would have gone better.
Yeah.
Well, how do you know, right? If you have Lourdes and Cattell in yesterday's game, how do you know Lourdes and Cattell don't go 0-4, 0-5, and don't have themselves a good day either, right?
Yeah.
It's a little easier to understand the loss if those guys are in there and that happens. But without them, there's always the unknown of being able to question it and say, well, there's this alternate reality where we won that game because you put those guys in there.
Yeah. So go watch the full interview with Derek Hall. It was fantastic. There's a lot of stuff in there about him personally that I did not know. Derek Hall grew up with his dad was very involved in media, working for a number of different newspapers. Derek Hall went to Cronkite and has a journalism background, which is something I did not know.
That's why he loves us.
There you go.
Adores us.
He absolutely does. So,
well, at least one of the two hosts. And we'll leave it up to you to guess which one. But of course, yeah, make sure to check that interview out. Make sure to check out everything we got going on today. Of course, you know what today is. It's NFL draft day. So if you haven't had a chance to tune in to the PHNX Cardinals show, make sure you keep it locked to those guys tonight because they will have all of the coverage you need. And of course, we can't wait to welcome Marvin Harrison Jr. to this franchise because that's what's going to happen. But in the meantime, we appreciate you guys stopping by. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at @Cap_Caveman with a K. This absolute maniac next to me is at Jesse N. Friedman. Danielle Cortez is at Abracadanielle still?
Yep.
All right, got it. But make sure, of course, and we are Danielle's dogs. Bark, bark.
Bark, bark.
Yeah.
Hey. Okay.
See, hear the enthusiasm there? Yeah, there was definitely an uptick in enthusiasm.
There has to be an alliteration, and that one, that works well.
It works perfectly, but of course, our show is at @PHNX_DBacks, and all roads do lead to @PHNX_sports on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We thank you guys for your time. We hope you have a lovely night. We hope the Cardinals have a lovely night. And we will see you guys back here tomorrow for our post-game show after game one against the Seattle Mariners. Guys, again, have yourselves a great night. And remember, kids, baseball is fun, but it's so much more fun when you hold the line!